Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Christine Michaelis, which she will pronounce later the correct way. Christine, founder of the Creative Startup Academy, author and public speaker, worked in marketing and advertising for more than 12 years before she decided to start her own business. With her hands-on approach, she has helped hundreds of entrepreneurs validate their business idea and market their business. She sees entrepreneurship as a way of life and loves the passion that comes from working in that industry. Thanks so much for being here today, Christine.
Thank you so much for having me. And you did quite a good job with my last name. So it's Michaelis, but Michaelis will work as well. So well done. Thank you so much for having me.
Excellent. Thank you. So we're going to be talking about productivity, peak productivity today, which is such a huge subject. Productivity is interesting. I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with either feeling like they're working really hard but not being productive, or feeling like they don't necessarily know how to be productive. So what, you know, in the work that you've done, what have you learned about entrepreneurs and productivity? I'll say as far as like challenges.
Yes. Very good question. I think, well, first of all, sometimes usually people want to be more productive to get more things done because it's like a never ending to-do list. When you're an entrepreneur, there will never be an empty to-do list. That's why I have, for example, a to-do list, a today list, and a not to-do list, but we can talk about that later. The challenges, I think prioritizing the tasks that they really have to do, get over procrastination, which I think everyone has for different kind of reasons. And we can talk about that as well later on. And not knowing where to start, maybe how to get more productive and where to actually start with something. I think this is like roughly the main challenges if we want to give them some headlines.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right. And so let's talk about procrastination. So I have so many questions about it. Why do we do it? How do we overcome it? You know, you said something about, you know, setting your priorities and which I totally get, but you know, what's your take on that?
Yeah. So procrastination, first thing, maybe we call it procrastination, distractions. We can give it different names, something that keeps us from doing the actual task that we have to do. And there's different reasons. And I also would like to reframe a bit because it's not always bad to procrastinate or to get distracted, because sometimes we do need that reset of the mind. We need to refresh. We need to be able to see things with fresh eyes. because maybe we've been focused too long. Maybe there was a negative email coming through. Maybe something didn't work. So for me this week, my internet stopped working. Oof. And I really freaked out because I need internet for work. Nothing else. All I need is internet. And for 3 days, we were really struggling with getting a connection, and every 5 minutes had to restart everything. Mm. So in the end, these can also be sometimes good things because you can use that time to reset, take some deep breaths. I'm not saying that I'm perfect because it didn't work for me. I still freaked out. however, just to say, in general, we could see distractions sometimes as a good thing, and it might tell us about why we actually want to get distracted or why we procrastinate. And that's maybe the first thing to look at. Why? So observing a bit, why is it that we get distracted? Why is it that we procrastinate and don't do something? And it might have different reasons. First of all, it might be something that we really don't want to do. It's something because we all have these tasks, and there's, I would say for 99% of us, there are tasks that we really don't want to do but have to do in business. Yeah. And there's different ways to deal with that. But this is probably one of the main reasons why we procrastinate. Maybe we have too much on. So we have a massive to-do list, even for things that all need to get done at the same time, so that the mind goes in overload and just decides to not want to do anything. So we decide to do something else because we see our apartment. So if we're working from home, for example, that the apartment or house is not tidy enough. So we think that's a priority now, cleaning the house instead of doing anything that we have to do for the business. And again, all these things I also can tell from my own experience, of course. And then there might be other reasons. Maybe we have a short attention span. I think these days the attention span really goes down, and all social media and everything that's out there is geared towards lowering the attention span for people. And I've seen that mine going down over the years, and I'm not regularly and all the time on social media, for example, which pushes that really a lot. But that means we can't really stay focused for too long, and that means we get distracted easily. Then there's other things, phone settings and notifications and stuff that distract us. So, but I would say the main reasons why we actually procrastinate is either we have too much on and don't know which one to do first, so we decide to do nothing, or there's something that we don't like doing, or we just have not enough focus to do what we want to do. Of course, there's also other things. If we're too tired, if we're overworked, and we don't know that we are, which is a lot of times as entrepreneurs, because usually we love what we do, and so we go in overworking without actually realizing, because the mind never switches off. If people go on holiday, they usually say, yeah, I'm on holiday, but you know what it's like, I'm checking my emails and things. So they're not separating the business from the personal life, which I think they should. So that's another reason. So that's more like a summary of why I think we procrastinate and get distracted, actually.
Yeah, that's so great. And I want to sit on like that last thing. How can productivity help an entrepreneur really create that work-life balance or harmony, kind of whatever you call it?
Yeah, so that's very good, because I used to be also someone, I was the queen of multitasking. I did so many projects, so many things, even at the same time. I was maybe editing a podcast, listening to things. I mean, a lot of things are now outsourced, but let's talk about the beginnings when you don't outsource anything as well. I was listening to a podcast, so I know where maybe to edit it, whilst I was maybe writing a blog post and checking the emails at the same time. And then I wanted to be more productive because I had also so many other ideas that I wanted to do and wanted to create. I'm this creator. I always have to produce. And a lot of people are like that. So that we actually want to get more productive, to get more things done. I would like to turn that around and say, you should get more productive to get the things done quicker that you need to do or want to do. Ideally both at the same time, and then shave off some working hours so that you have actually more time for your life. And I'm saying that on purpose, and that might be a bit for some people not positive, but for me, the personal life and the business life is separate, even though I love what I do, of course. But I need that to rest my brain. So you should be able to then take off some hours, maybe a day less, to be able to create that work-life balance. And it's not from one day to another. And I have been there as well. I've been very close to a burnout, and it was a very difficult year. I was diagnosed with a brain tumor, misdiagnosed, let's say, with a brain tumor in the same year. So it all came together, and I was working 7 days a week, at least 12 hours a day. And then with, of course, this happening, this diagnosis, you start to reprioritizing a bit the life and think, okay, this can't go on like this. And unfortunately, a lot of people need a shocking moment in their life, if that's for themselves or loved ones, before they actually take that action, even though we can do it at any point in our life. So getting more productive helps you maybe to take your weekend back bit by bit. So for me, that was, okay, I'm going to have a proper lunch break. So I got more productive. I automized things and all these things we can talk about. So I got a lunch time, a lunch break back. I didn't sit in front of the computer eating my lunch and answering emails. I get away from my computer, eat lunch, and I take a walk. Then I started getting my evenings back. And then I was like, I don't want to work Sundays. I took my Sunday back and then my Saturday. So now I really have a, let's say, 9-to-5 kind of job that I created within my own business. Doesn't mean that I'm not stressed sometimes, or there might be exceptions why I work an hour or half an hour longer. However, usually I was able to create it for myself and also with people that I work with.
Yeah. Wow. It sounds like a really challenging year. And I'm so glad that I asked the question. But as you were talking, I started thinking about it really is about mindset, right? I mean, you have to have a certain mindset that you're going to work in your business a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is right. And like we said, I mean, to really take a big shift, that's when something needs to happen. So either we really go into burnout, or something even worse happens. And having a real burnout, luckily I didn't have one. I stepped on the brakes before then, but I do know people that had burnout with the clinical, with staying in the clinic and everything. And it's so hard to bounce back, if ever. So it is really having that mindset. And the first things to think about as well is, okay, what do I actually want in life, and how can I create a business life, and what is not business life and should be separate? So maybe these are the questions to ask yourself first, because you need to get that right in your head, thinking, okay, no, this is business now. And it's not that when I'm on the beach in my holidays that I don't have an idea for my business. But what I do then is I write it down and I leave it there. And then I go back to having a nap on the beach because I try then to push this out and think, okay, this is business though. And I don't want to forget about it. So I write it down and then I go back into holiday, but I don't take action on that. So first thing, having really a separate life for business and personal life is the first thing for the mindset. The other thing is really, I talked about that the other day as well, where it was in the context of happiness, but I think it works here as well, is where we can start thinking about what would I do if something like this would happen to me? Okay, something negative, let's call it negative, shocking, let's call it shocking, because everything has their purpose for life and you learn from everything. But you can start thinking, okay, if something like this was happened to me, what would I do differently? And I had a friend who actually lived 1 year like it was his last year. And he knew he's not going to die, but he said, okay, I'm going to live that year as if I'm not here anymore in 1 year's time. And he'd completely changed his work environment, the way he worked, and the importance he gives to work and his life, which should at least be the same importance or even more important, of course, the personal health and well-being rather than business things. And that can help you to speed up things, to get rid of things that you don't have to actually do, because sometimes there's things that we do because we feel we have to, or we have to publish a reel on Instagram every day because I don't need to grow my followers. Yeah, it's because they tell you and you don't have to. And then the last thing I'm going to talk about, the mindset, is that first of all, it's in your power to change the way you think. It really is. You can cheat on your brain. You can pretend things that you're not. You can create your own reality, which we do already anyway. And we should focus on all the positive things. And we're very good in manipulating ourselves. So even if we set ourselves a goal, coming back to getting distracted or procrastination, that's actually another reason. We self-manipulate and will never achieve that goal because maybe we think, I don't actually want to achieve that goal, but maybe it's something that society told us that we need to achieve. Mm. Maybe it's a goal of someone else that you took on. So again, there's no motivation there. Maybe you even deep down, for whatever reason and traumas and things you went through in your life, you think you're not deserving achieving this. And maybe you don't have everything that you need to achieve whatever you set yourself. So that you manipulate yourself and you distract on purpose yourself and you procrastinate because of this. This is all happening subconsciously and you might not be even aware of. So every time you want to achieve something, you want to finish a project, ask yourself those questions. Do I want to achieve that? Is it actually my thing that I want to achieve? Do I actually think I deserve achieving that? And do I have everything I need to achieve that? If any of these answers is no, move on to the next point.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Are there other sorts of tools that can help someone be more productive?
Yes, lots. so one thing is, there's obviously, like I mentioned, you probably have a to-do list. If not, at least with the age, I've seen that I have to have one because I can't keep everything in my mind. So I really recommend having a to-do list. And there is to find out the right one for you. So if that's an app, if that's a Word document, if that's a piece of paper where you write with your pen, which I do, actually. I tried so many apps, and let me tell you, I'm really for technology, and I make use as much as I can of it. However, to-do lists, I never got away from writing it on a piece of paper and then crossing things off. Gives me real satisfaction as well to cross things off. And then maybe have a today list, so things that you think you need to get done on that day, and prepare that the day before. That also helps you to set up for the day, and maybe create a not to-do list. What is happening if you don't do this or that? So the answer is nothing's going to happen if you don't do it. Then probably you don't have to do it. So that's one of the things. Of course, another thing is prioritizing the right way. So think about how would you prioritize things. Is it something urgent and important? All these priority models that are out there. However, you can think about, is there an external deadline that need to be met that you can't move? Maybe you're attending an event and you have to create some materials for it. So you will need to be done by then. Maybe it's a deadline you set yourself, but you can be a bit more flexible with it and move it. Maybe you're outsourcing something and that person can't start working without you giving some information to that person. Me personally, I also have that 2-minute rule. If something doesn't take more than 2 minutes, I get it done straight away rather than putting it on any list. And that's from that book, Eat That Frog. Something that you don't like to do, do it first. Because then it's gone. It's gone. And it's not going to annoy you anymore. It's not going to nag you any further. Of course, there's some other things. I mean, if you want, I can give some more tips. There's a lot of self-control app.com, for example, is a website that you can program and say, I don't want to go on specific websites for a specific time. Because if you're guilty of getting distracted, going off on YouTube or on any social media on your desktop, then you can put that on. It won't let you on. It blocks those websites for that time that you set.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. Then, of course, a project management tool. There's lots of free ones out there. I personally use Asana that I quite like, but there's also Trello, and there's so many other ones that you can use even for free. What else? Think about how you're making use of your inbox, because usually, so emails are usually things that distract us and that put us into overwhelm. And I would always observe first certain routines, certain habits, and then you can think about how you want to improve that. Make sure you unsubscribe from any unnecessary subscriptions. So if you don't even open emails, or if you never read any of the emails that you get that you subscribe to, or even not subscribe to, but somehow ended up on the list, make sure you unsubscribe. There's a great tool, depending where you are in the world, but you can go to unroll.me, which basically connects to your Gmail, and you can unsubscribe with one click to all your subscriptions there. So it recognizes where you subscribe to. So that's a great tool. And then set up as many automated rules as possible, also for your emails, and automate as much as you can in your workflow processes. And again, you need to observe them first and know what is actually your workflow. If you don't have one, create one, and then optimize it by automating as much as you can. And then, because a lot of people use Gmail, I'm also give you Boomerang for Gmail. I use it all the time. You can use that to schedule emails. You can use that to boomerang back certain emails into your inbox, so you don't have to set yourself reminders, but it just comes back like a new email that you've already looked at. And that really helps. Switching off all notifications on your phone. I've done that. I switched off everything because it drove me crazy, and also really makes you look at your phone and makes you look at all the notifications, even though you're probably focusing in that moment, is another thing. You want to go on or
no? I'm telling you, these are great, and I use Boomerang and love it, because then I can respond to emails really at any time, but yes. I can schedule them to go. Like, I love that feature on that.
Awesome.
I thought some of these ideas of the not to do list, you know, was it 2 minutes? If it takes less than two minutes, love that. I mean, these are great. Are there? Do you think people really can multitask, or do we convince ourselves we're multitasking when really we're not?
Well, let's look at it from a percentage point of view, let's say.
Okay.
And if people tell you, I give it 150%, it's not possible. Let's talk about the 100%, because you give 100% to something, and that means 100% focus to something. And I'm not saying, so there's different layers of multitasking. If we talk about the more overview kind of thing. So let's say you're working on writing a book and maybe on creating an online course as well, and creating your blog post for the next month. Let's say these are like three big tasks that you're doing at the same time, but not at the same time as in during the day. So I think you can do that. You can have different projects going on, but not, of course, do things at the same time. Like I mentioned, like I used to editing a podcast in the background whilst I was typing something else and checking emails as well. Because if we really look at it, if you try to do something at the same time, so for example, you listen to a podcast and you're answering an email, or you participating in a networking event online and checking your emails and writing while someone else is introducing themselves to you, you will not be able to give 100% focus to one or the other. And it means you either give a 80%, let's say, on writing that email and 20% to the person that introduces himself by just nodding and pretending you listen. So multitasking on a bigger scale, yes. Multitasking, doing the same things, I think you can, but it's not going to give you the best results, and you're probably going to make mistakes and miss out on certain things.
I totally agree with you. I love those examples that you gave, because if we're honest with ourselves, we have all done that at some point in time.
Yes, for sure, for sure. That's why I give these examples.
Oh yeah. My gosh, these are so great. I mean, just this whole thought process is wonderful. Is there this is going to sound probably like a strange question, but if someone's listening and they're thinking to themselves, so it's not me, I can be really productive, it's other people who impact my day, or, you know, impact my time and my energy. Mm-hmm. Is there something that they can say to people, or something they can do to minimize that?
It's a really good question, because it's also very applicable to myself. I'm someone who, when I want to focus and work, I love being in my own room and no one around.
Yeah.
I also love socializing and everything that comes with that, and networking and things and stuff. But when I work, I want to get focused. And I have to say, that's also, I'm working from home, so I'm not going to a co-working space, but I used to work in offices when I was still employed, for example. I'm working from home, but so is my fiance. And we're working in the same room. So that can be challenging sometimes. Wow. I have to say. So what I would always recommend, no matter if it's a partner, family, friends kind of situation that you're working together in the same building or the same room, or if it's a co-working kind of situation where you go in a co-working space and there's other people around, or if you're employed and work with colleagues, or even if you have your own business and work with a co-founder. So if you're working with other people around you, there's a couple of things there. Everyone has their own working pattern and their own way of working. There's no one fits all solution. You know, these things where people say, oh, you should use the Pomodoro technique, because you work 25 minutes and then you take 5 minutes off because the brain can't focus for more than that. I disagree with that. I think it works for some people. It truly didn't work for me. I did try. Mm-hmm. I'm someone, I can focus also for 3 hours, not a problem, and then take a break. So it's always finding out what works for you, and understanding that the other person might not work like that. That's the first thing. So we're having your understanding yourself. Then you can find a transparent conversation with the people around you. I think making them understand how you work will already open up a lot of things and eliminate a lot of distractions that might be there. It might not work at the first time, speaking from experience. But really using an open conversation and being super transparent and saying, okay, look, this is how I work. I know this is not for everyone, but I would really appreciate that if you see me with my headphones on, that means really please don't disturb me. Or what I've created is like a little sign that I might put on my desk saying, I'm with some lovely words, some funny words around, which basically signals, okay, I'm in focus mode. Please don't ask me anything. Please don't disturb me. It's really important to set boundaries as well. So be clear about it. Be understanding for the other person as well, of course, but you need to set those boundaries, because otherwise it's going to drive you mental. If none of this works, remove yourself from that work environment. That's the only thing then I think that you can do. If you can, you change the work environment, meaning not going to the co-living space anymore, maybe setting up your office in another room of the house or apartment where you live. But try the other things first. Understand how you work. Understand that this is not how everyone works. Have an open conversation around it. Little hints for people, visual hints that they understand. And then if that doesn't work, remove yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's great. Thank you for that. And I know it's something that a lot of people deal with because they don't want to be rude. And there are times when it's okay, you know, they feel okay to do some socializing, but it's setting those boundaries. So that was really terrific. Christine, I love this information. I'm so glad that you joined me today. Will you let the listeners know, you know, how they can find you and anything you've got going on you think would be valuable for them, please?
Yes, of course. So your best website to find me and where you find all my LinkedIn and everything where I'm most active actually is creativestartupacademy.com, all in one word. I did write a book about productivity. If someone wants to dive deeper into that, always happy to connect with people and have a conversation. So if you do have any questions, you can always email me or message me on LinkedIn. Yeah, that's it, I think.
Excellent. That's really great. So thank you again. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Hey friends, this is Jim Knight, former 21-year Hard Rock executive turned best-selling author and top 10 keynote speaker.
And I'm Brant Menswar, former frontman of Hollywood's most dangerous band turned top 10 motivational speaker and best-selling author.
We host the how-to podcast Thoughts That Rock, where we talk to rock stars, athletes, CEOs, astronauts, and even next-door neighbors who share their expertise and opinions. Together, we tackle the most interesting and challenging topics of today.
Whether you want to learn how to become more confident, how to deal with anxiety at work,
or how to write a hit song, or use Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in life,
we've got hundreds of episodes to help amp up your life and move you forward.
Subscribe to Thoughts That Rock wherever you listen to podcasts, and check out evergreenpodcast.com for more information.